Welcome to The Assignment. In this podcast, we'll listen in as associates from across the firm have candid conversations, share stories, and answer questions about how they've navigated the topics of inclusion and belonging, both here at Buckingham and in their homes and communities. We hope that this podcast will empower everyone listening to be courageous, curious, and engaged when it comes to conversations about identity, and that we'd all be able to come together to share a little bit about ourselves and our experiences. That's the key to growing our relationships and making an even greater impact in the work we do each day.
My name is Kim Ferdema, and I'm on the events team. I've been at Buckingham for 8 years now, and I've got two children, Penelope, who's 4, Lucy, who's 3, and one on the way that's coming in April. My husband, Joe, and I have been married for 6 years. And then we also have two dogs, Murphy and Frank. So to say I have a lot on my plate would be an understatement. Somebody always needs something, either work or at home. So I hope that from this conversation, another mom, another parent can walk away with, like, you can have it all, the kids and the career and the family. And something that Alex Potts recently told me that I've kind of lived by and kind of has become my mantra is that it's not about work-life balance, but about harmony.
I like that.
I am Julia Brightfield. I'm also on the events team. I have two children. I have Lydia, who's 2.5. And Logan, who just turned 5 months. I am married to Drew Brightfield. He used to work at Buckingham. I met him at Buckingham. And we've been married for 5 years now. We have two dogs, Ellie and Charlie. And they, between the two kids and the two dogs, they definitely keep us busy and keep the house very, very loud. And hoping to learn from this conversation, I think I just really want all working moms to know that, like, if they're going through a hard time or feel very overwhelmed, you're not alone. I think we all feel that way. And maybe just through this conversation, people can gain some perspective on how, like, there's always a lot more to someone than just how they appear on the outside.
Hi, everyone. My name is Allison Barbieri, and I'm on the relationship management team. I'm based in St. Louis, and I've been with the firm coming up on 12 years now. So I have 3 kids. My oldest, Cole, is 11. My daughter, Sky, is 8. And my youngest son, Bryce, is 6, soon to be 7, the day after Christmas. We have no pets. At one point, we had a hedgehog, but feeling like I had too much on my plate, we had to give him away. That was not fun for the kids, but a relief for me, if I'm being very honest. So right now it's just me and the kids, no pets. I was married for 10 years, but got divorced a couple of years ago. So I do have my kids. We have joint custody half of the time. I have a Mondays and Tuesdays and every other weekend. So a lot going on. I do have some downtime, but usually on my free days, we still have activities and all sorts of stuff going on. So, and if I'm not going to activities, I'm usually scrambling to clean the house. So what I'm hoping to learn from this conversation is, I think we all have, you know, our own unique families and experiences, but I think there's a lot that we actually share and have, you know, a common ground with, you know, and I hope people know, like, they're not the only ones going through a certain circumstance, whether it's a win or a challenge. You know, I think we all kind of go through the same things there. I'll kick us off with this one. So in what ways has motherhood changed your perspective on work? Julia, do you want to start?
Yes. So I would say it hasn't changed it for the better or worse. It's just made it different the way I view it. So I think back to when I first started at Buckingham and before kids, and I would just think work was everything. Like I would give it my all. I would put every ounce of energy I had into it. And I loved it. Like I wanted to spend my time doing this. I wanted to advance in my career. And after kids, that hasn't changed. I still love working and love my job and love what I'm doing. But it's just taught me that it's not the only thing anymore. Like when something goes wrong, I don't take it as big a hit as I used to. Like I was having a conversation with a teammate the other day where we like talking about things and it both just like we both just decided it's not life and death. Like there are some really like important tasks and some big responsibilities, but it just work isn't everything. There's so much more to life, and having kids has taught me that. Like I can be struggling at work one day and just really killing it as a mom, and then some days like when I don't feel like the best mom, maybe I'm like doing great on a project here. So it just really like brought, like expanded my horizons. It hasn't changed my perspective for the better or worse, but it's just really like made my world so much bigger in that there are so many other places to spend my energy.
Yeah, I feel like I mean, I've had a job since I was 16, so I feel like work has been priority number one for me. And, you know, like in order to survive, you need to have a job and that kind of thing. And even when Cole was first born, you know, I feel like I still probably put work as my priority as I had more kids and as they got older and there was more going on. I think I had to just create like a better balance between the two. You know, I always want to show up and do my best at work, but I also need to show up and do my best for my children as well. And just, you know, having a better balance there and like keeping the kids, you know, in the forefront of, you know, I need to be there for them also.
Right.
I agree with both of you guys on that. And a conversation that I had with my husband before we had kids and whatnot was that, you know, my career is important to me, but so is our family. And he was supportive of both, that I wanted to continue working and that, you know, being on the events team, it's a unique job because we're working late nights and traveling and weekends. And he said, if that's what you want to do, then that's, we're going to make it work and do that. And I'll admit, when I came back, my first round after maternity leave, like I felt overwhelmed and just like I couldn't do it all. And finally I just had like, I don't know if you want to call it an epiphany, but I was like, unfortunately my employer can replace me. It's life like that, but my kids can't. So mm-hmm. I need to make it a point that they have the best family home and like experiences. Like job's a job. It will always mm-hmm. be there. But my kids, I get them young only one time.
Right. There's no do-overs.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish there were do-overs.
So have either of you experienced any shifts in your relationships personally or professionally since becoming a mom?
In my experience, I don't think so. I feel like I have a handful of friends who have also become mothers and I still keep up with and try and communicate it may not be that we're seeing each other in person or like going out for happy hours anymore, but you know, I still feel like I try and keep up with my friendships. I also have a handful of girlfriends who are single and don't have kids. And you know, I don't want to use the word excuse, like, oh, I've got kids, like, I can't go like hang out with you. Like, I think it's important. Like, I've had a couple of really fun girls trips in the last couple of years. And I think it's important to like set aside some of your time to just focus on you or focus on, you know, just have fun with your friends. And, you know, your kids will be there when you get home. And I don't know, I've tried to, again, using the word balance, like kind of keep that in balance.
Julia. Okay. So I was just going to say that I struggled, and even, you know, to this day, I still struggle. Like, I feel like I'm labeled as a wife, a mother, a daughter, a sister, a coworker. And sometimes I just want to be Kim and nothing else. And just let me do what I want to do. And that's been a struggle for me over the past, you know, 4 years of having a kid, of just like, what do I still enjoy doing for myself? Like, what hobbies do I even have? I don't know. So I'm refinding that and like trying to figure out what brings like joy to me. Not like that my kids don't, but like personally, like I want to go read a book and be quiet and like cozied up.
I can relate to that because I think, at least in my opinion or my personal experience, I think it goes back to probably the ages of your kids. Like, you know, they're younger, you're just kind of in the thick of it. They constantly need your help. So it's like, you don't have the mind space to think about like, what would I enjoy to do right now? And maybe the 5 free minutes I have, like, that's just like, that doesn't happen often or common, like, yes, right now with your younger kids. I've found, you know, since my kids have gotten older, I do have a little bit more like free time or like space to think about what I might like to do. You know, I took up tennis there for a little bit and that was wonderful. I had to quit again because we're just too busy, but you know, I think it has to do with just kind of like the season that you're in with your kids.
I think you said that so perfectly, like, you don't have the mind space, because that is exactly how I feel. Like, I feel like there's so much in my mind that there's not even like one teeny tiny little piece of room for anything else, like, to fit in there. I just think, like, I get a holiday card or something and I'm like, how did that person know to order it in time? Like, I can't even, I'm having trouble like using a toaster. So I think that is the best way to describe.
Yeah.
It's like mind space. There's no more room.
Yeah. Give yourself some grace. We've all had those years of like not sending out the holiday card. Like, don't feel guilty about it. It's fine. There's always next year.
Yeah.
Everyone, there's my card.
And also, Alan, I liked that you mentioned the season you're in, because it's so true. Like, I look back on when my kids were like, they're 17 months apart. So at one point I had both kids in diapers and it was just like a madhouse. And now, like, they are becoming more independent. Granted, I'm about to have another newborn, so I'm going to lose that, but it's definitely, it comes and goes. And I want to say, you want to embrace it, but when your kid's throwing a tantrum because, you know, the wrong color fruit snack, you're just like, man, I'm not going to miss this.
Leading up to this conversation, I was thinking about that, you know, it, and, you know, our parents and, you know, everyone else has kids that have grown up, like, it goes by so quickly. And, you know, when you're in the middle of it, you're like, like, it doesn't seem like it. Like, my days seem like they're, you know, weeks long. And, but it really does. Like, I feel like when they're little, you want them to like grow up quickly. Like, come on, take responsibility, like, show accountability, like, you know, do things for yourself. But then it's like they're not babies anymore. And it's like, wait, no, like I don't get to like hug up on you and snuggle up on you, and you are doing things on your own that, you know, like now what do I do? Like, so
yeah,
it's hard. I mean, it's hard to appreciate it in the moment, but it does go by quickly.
Yeah. Joe's favorite quote, and I don't know where he got it, probably like some weird Instagram post or something, but it's the days are long, but the years are short.
And yeah.
It's like a awakening sometimes when you look back on like memories from like 2 years ago and you're like, oh my gosh, like I thought I was in the thick of it then. Like now I've got so much more on my plate. Like,
I like going back to the shifts in relationships. I think like I used to be so, well, not so, but I used to be quicker to judge people. And I think since having children, I'm much less quick to judge. And you feel like some common ground with other working, not even just working mothers, but working parents. Like you never know who was up literally all night the night before, or like someone's a little bit off on a call or has some typos in an email. Like you never know who just got bad news from the principal or something. So I think I used to just be so much quicker to judge, but having children has taught me like to give people a little bit more grace, and you never know like what's going on in their life. So maybe just have a little more patience and understanding for people. And I mean, even just not, even if you're not a parent, like maybe that's a good lesson. Like you just never know what's going on and who didn't get any sleep. And
definitely.
Yeah, it's just taught me to be a little bit more patient. Can you share a moment where balancing your identity as a mother and a professional was particularly challenging or rewarding? Allison, you've got like...
Yeah, I'll jump in on this one. So I don't know. This question was a little challenging for me because I don't identify as a mom or a professional. Like, I just feel like I'm Allison and I happen to be a mom of three kids and I work full time. And like, that's just who I am. So, I've been doing this for a while now. So I feel like, you know, I'm kind of in my routine, like I've got my groove. Certainly there are challenges. Like, you know, this week I've had different kids at home on different days. And, you know, there's always something going on, just kind of like you were saying, Julia, you have no idea what people are going through, if they were up during the middle of the night or whatever. But, I don't know. You just kind of, you figure it out. It comes with the territory. You just make the most of the situation, do your best. And, you know, if you need to take a last minute PTO day, like I've found that like, I shouldn't, like, I'm not going to feel guilty about it. Like, it's okay. We're empowered. It's one day. We've got team members to help us. And it is what it is. I mean, certainly I've just juggled as much as I can when I can do it, but it's okay to get a little bit of a break if you need it. And just in terms of like anything being rewarding, like, I mean, I think just overall, it's nice to know, like, you know what? I have maintained a full-time job. I've done well. I've also raised three kids. They're doing well. Like they're, you know, I've only gotten one call from the principal over the past few years. So it's like, you know, I'll take that. So, I mean, just in general, like, you know, I'll give myself a pat on the back. I'm not perfect by any means, but like, you know, I'm doing my best. I'm trying my hardest.
Yes. When I read this question, the immediate thing I like felt was, yeah, it's been a challenge identifying as both, because I made the mistake of volunteering as room mom this year for my oldest's class. And I thought, oh, I'm going to give back to the like school, like what, I'll have to send a few emails here and there. No, it is, I feel like a part-time job juggling everything. And I'm in over my head and I'm on these group chats with all these other room moms that it's going off all hours of the day. And I'm like, does nobody else work? Like, I'm sorry. Like, yeah, am I the only one? Yes. So that has been I feel like in that situation that I'm the only working mom. And I'm like, I don't know how all these people are doing it. And I get jealous. Like, yeah, I want to give my kids a great holiday party, but right now my capacity is I can bring the pre-made cupcakes. Like that's all I can do at this point in time. And
but not a single kid in that room is going to care that they're pre-made cupcakes. It's like just a mom thing.
Yes.
Not a single kid would ever care. No. So.
And it's not even like another mom has ever said anything to me. Like, oh, you're not showing up for like volunteer lunch time or recess time. Like, it's all in my own head. I do it to myself.
Yeah.
Like, you're your own worst enemy. And it, when you're a mom, it's even worse.
Yeah. It's easy to be really hard on yourself.
Well, and just like going back to like balancing it all. And Kim, I feel like you said this earlier, maybe before we started the call, but like, it's okay to say no to things. And I think that's hard. Like, you want to feel like you can do it all and like give your kids everything. And also, you know, your job and outside extracurricular activities, but it's okay to say no and not feel guilty about it, which is hard. It's very hard. I've had to learn to be okay with that. Like, there are certain nights where I've had to say, like, I'm not going to come to gymnastics class or basketball or soccer, and like not feel bad that I'm keeping that hour to myself to get other things done or just have quiet time. So it is, we are our own worst enemy. Like you said, like we're putting the guilt on ourselves. No one else is. So
Julia, what about you balancing your identity?
I will always put my kids first, and that can be challenging honestly just to say it out loud in a work setting. Like, I will always put my kids first. My job is very important to me, but if one of my kids needs me, I make that a priority. And I've just found it challenging at times to, and almost like I feel embarrassed a little bit when, if I have to like miss a meeting or reschedule a meeting that I've scheduled, or even take a meeting from like a doctor's office or something, like, which has happened. Like, it feels like a little embarrassing to be on a call with like coworkers or leadership, or if we have this very, very important meeting, and I'll say like, sorry, I have to change the time, my kid has strep throat, or like, so that's been my biggest challenge, is just explaining my priorities, or feeling like I have to justify my priorities. And it's just, I know it just goes along with the territory, but it does just feel like a little vulnerable to say it in a work setting that like, my kids are going to come before this meeting. Sorry.
I was just gonna say, I agree. 'Cause you don't know how many times I've been on a Zoom call or something and my kid is in the background just because they're homesick or school dismissed early. And it's like, it's life now. Like, that's the season I'm in. My kid's going to be home sometimes during the day with me. But I think something that COVID's brought us is that flexibility of the work from home. So I don't feel as guilty now. They're like, yeah, I'm at home. And so is my sick kid that has a fever that hasn't left the couch in 2 days, but I'm still getting my job done. Exactly. And they're still at home with mom in a safe place. Like, mm-hmm.
I think too, it's just, or at least for me growing up, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. And I think that's shifted a little bit with, you know, later generations. Like, we're mm-hmm. seeing more mothers having to work full-time to support their family. And there's not that like traditional sense of like, you know, the husband's working and there's a stay-at-home mom to be able to take care of the kids. And it's much more of a juggling act at this point. But going back to what you said, Kim, you know, I think, yeah, like, even though COVID was, you know, no fun for anybody, I think it did help us evolve to a more like hybrid workplace. And I know I'm super appreciative of having that flexibility and being able to still work and maintain my job and do whatever I need to do, but also have that flexibility for when my kids get off the bus at 2:45 in the afternoon. Like, I'm here. Yes. And they can do what they need to do. They'll be in the background, but you know, I don't have to worry that they're just either home alone. Cause I don't know for you guys, maybe you're all still in like the preschool daycare, but our after school care was like, you couldn't get in. So it was like, I had no choice but to like,
what are you going to do?
Yeah. Like, what can I do? So I'm appreciative that we can have that flexibility.
Well, we didn't even have laptops until 2019 at Buckingham. Like,
I know.
If you had to work, you had to be in the office.
Yeah, and if you had to go home for a sick kid, like, you had to take PTO. It was like,
yeah.
Yep.
So look how much Buckingham itself has come. Like, I'm grateful mm-hmm. for that alone, because I could not fathom if I couldn't have a laptop at home with me and work the hours that made sense.
It was tough. I mean, I remember before, like, it was tough. Like, you know, I was where you guys were, in daycares and preschool at the time with my kids. And as you know, like, every other week, your kid's coming home with a runny nose. And it would be so stressful to, like, either I had to run, it was usually me or me calling my mom.
Yep.
And hoping she could help. She usually could. I don't know what people would do without families nearby. Like, I can only imagine how challenging that would be. But I'm grateful that, you know, things have kind of evolved over these last few years. It's made it much less stressful.
Mm-hmm. And Allison, you mentioned that, you know, your mom was a stay-at-home mom. Mine mm-hmm. was too. And she always questions how I'm doing it. I'm keeping up with it all. She's like, Kim, you need to cutbacks, it's here or there. And I'm like, no, like, this is just life, mom. Like,
yeah,
I have to do it. I have to provide for my family. I'm career driven and all of this. And I just keep reminding myself that I'm also setting this standard or like perception on it for my girls, like mm-hmm. that they're seeing me as a working mom now and that you can do it.
Yeah, I think just that I had a moment with my parents, you know, when I was going through like our divorce, like the weight of the world was on my shoulders. And even just like getting the dishes in the dishwasher seemed like the most gigantic task in the world. Like, it was just so much. And finally, you know, I had my parents come over and just like help me and stuff. And it was really nice to hear them recognize like how much work is on my shoulders, not necessarily being a single mom, but just a working mom, mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot going on, a lot that you have to juggle. And things just, you know, aren't necessarily the same as when we grew up, like, you know, with all the technology and just all of that. Like, I can't even draw on my own past experiences with it because it's all new. Like, we're all just kind of trying to figure it out as we go. Like, do I give Cole a cell phone next year when he goes to middle school? Like, I don't know. I didn't get my red Nokia until I was 18. And like, even then, like it was, you could only call people, right? Like there weren't all the apps and social media. And like, so I feel like on top of just, you know, being a working mother, we're also navigating these different areas of life that like we didn't grow up with. Like it's like, these are all new things and there's no handbook. There's no right or wrong, but it's just new.
Yeah. You figure it out as you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like people tell us a lot, like the dishes will always be there and the laundry will always be there. And as a way to like make us feel better or calm us down. But like you said, Allison, like you still have to do it. Like eventually you need that dirty dish. And your kid is gonna want like the clothes that are in the dirty laundry. Like they're gonna need the t-shirt for Cat in the Hat Day at school. Like, so I mean, like, yes, the dishes will always be there. Yes, the laundry will always be there, but we still have to do it. Like,
I know.
That doesn't help much. Like, I still have to do the laundry.
I know. And for the record, I have made great strides getting my dishes clean.
Yeah.
It's actually like, this sounds stupid, but like, these are the, like the little wins that we should all be celebrating. Like I make it a point every night. Like I am, my sink is cleared out. And like, that's just now part of my routine. Like it doesn't feel like a huge weight on my shoulders. And, you know, not only that, like, you know, I'm getting my kitchen cleaned up, like just little things. I feel like you said, the laundry, the dishes, like grocery shopping, like cleaning up the playroom. If you look at that, like as a whole, it seems so overwhelming and like, you're never going to get it done. But actually, I think I was having a conversation with Laura Cloud and probably whining about everything that I had to do. And she goes, okay, once we hang up, like literally just take 15 minutes and like focus on one room and like see what you can get done. And it's been so helpful. This is not rocket science. Like this isn't some like profound thing, but that's not what I do. It's like, okay, just you 15 minutes, like work on the kitchen and like, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there actually goes a long way. I'm feeling much more on top of things.
I know I was drowning in laundry. Like I couldn't keep up. So now I just do a load a day. I don't care what size it is. I do a load. Does it sit then for a day or two in the laundry room after being cleaned? Yes, but it's clean and it's in there.
Yeah. I think taking it, like being open and receptive to tips and advice, like, well, Laura told you to go 15 minutes or like, Kim, you've got it down to do like one load of laundry a day. Like it's so helpful to share like, tips and what works for you. And Kim and I were talking the other day and I said, I feel like all I do is dishes. All I do is dishes. And she's like, just throw in the dishwasher. And then just like a light bulb goes off. Like, okay, yeah, I'm just going to do it. Like,
Julia, you're not using the dishwasher?
Some things that I have can't go in the dishwasher. Yeah. But then again, like be receptive to taking like advice here. Don't use those things. Like buy dishwasher safe things and stick with it.
Or Julia, also like get a, you know, a big gigantic pack of paper plates.
Yep.
And if you've got a weekend where it's like, you know what, I'm not doing it, break out those paper plates and throw them away when you're done.
Yep. And I like that you brought up like accepting tips and like reach, like talking about it. Cause I was at dance class talking with one of the other moms and she had her first upcoming work trip coming and she was freaking out about it. And she was like, you travel a lot for work. Like, how do you like manage this? Like, I feel like I have to write a schedule for me. I have to get all the groceries. And I go, no, you don't. Nobody said you had to do any of that. Like, your partner's an adult. And I've always said this from day one of traveling with kids at home. My husband's only goal while I'm gone is to keep the kids alive. I don't care how he does it. I don't care what gets us to that, but just get there. And
I told her that has to be the most productive week.
Exactly. You don't need to follow bedtime routines if I'm not there, because you've got two against one. Like, it just get through the day and the kid's alive. And she laughed, and I was like, there's nothing you can do from 1,000 miles away. Like, you just have to let it go.
Yeah.
And a few weeks later, she's like, I have to tell you, I went on my trip and felt a sense of relief that I was just like, there's nothing I can do. Like, he just has to keep the kids alive. That's it. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I even brought you up to my therapist and how much you helped me with that trip. And I was like, I'm just telling you like how I handle, you know, travel and kids and mm-hmm. all that that comes along with it. So, and it makes the dad and partner probably more involved and more, they take more initiative then. Like, mm-hmm. Joe has no problem doing baths. So now we alternate, like, you're doing baths tonight. He has no problem taking initiative on the kids' dinner or packing mm-hmm. lunches, because he's had to do it when I'm not here. So there's no, well, we do it this way. It's like, no, just, I don't care how it gets done. Just get it done.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't fall all on you all the time.
Yeah.
So is there anything that comes to mind that we would want or could be helpful, like Buckingham could be helpful, like supporting working mothers? Like, I don't know if I have anything specific to add other than I'm appreciative of the hybrid work schedule flexibility, but is there anything that comes to your minds?
I feel like we've been spoiled at Buckingham, and I always feel bad when I tell my like teacher friends or nursing friends, like, our 12 weeks paid maternity, because they don't get that. They get 6 weeks or 8 weeks, and it's usually partial pay, or they have to take short-term disability. And so I feel guilty sometimes being like, oh yeah, I get 12 weeks like fully paid, and they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, but even selfishly, I want more than those 12 weeks, because there's nothing worse than that first day of daycare drop off and you've got 4 bottles packed and you're like, that's probably not going to be enough, but maybe it's too much. And then you've got, oh, I got to bring a whole pack of diapers, and I don't know, is there going to be a blowout? Should I bring 2 extra outfits? Uh-huh. And then you just sit there and you're like, how am I supposed to leave this child who can't even hold their head up for 9 hours when they've been relying on me every waking second? So selfishly, I would like more maternity leave, but the flexibility of the work hours, Allison, I couldn't agree more. Like,
yeah. And the full pay for the 12 weeks. I think with Cole, my firstborn, it wasn't like that. So I think that's a really nice additional benefit for folks. Because as you guys all know, that's like the most stressful time. Like, one, you're like, what am I doing with this tiny, tiny human? Yeah. And like, you need all the money you can make because daycare is like insane. That's nice.
I don't have anything to add. I think it's a really supportive environment for working moms. And I think there's a lot of resources. And also, it's just a really good group of people. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of supportive people that we work with.
So we talked a lot about our maternity leave and how grateful we were for it. But you think back to when you were a new mom, what advice would you have liked to receive those first days coming back?
Julia, do you want to go?
You just have to take it so easy on yourself. I don't know what else to say other than like, give yourself so much grace and time. And I'm 2 months back from maternity leave, and it's still feels like I'm getting back into the swing of things. Maybe it'll never feel like I'm back in the swing of things. I don't know. But I just think you have to be so patient with your work. And I mean, like we already kind of mentioned this, but you know, not every day has to be the most productive day either. Like sometimes dry shampoo can be your best friend, and that, like, I think that's okay. maybe that's my biggest piece of advice, is find a good dry shampoo.
That's great. There's two things that come to mind for me on this, and I guess I'm drawing from my own personal experience, but I think it can be challenging coming back to work, knowing that someone on the team or whoever has absorbed your job, and then feeling like, wait, do I still have a job? Like what, like I need to start taking back my responsibilities, and like, what has changed while I've been out like for these 3 months? Like, how are things working now? Like, I felt like that was a challenge for me, coming back, like not feeling like I was, like, I didn't know, like, okay, what should I be doing? Cause everyone's been covering for me now. Mm-hmm. And of course you don't want it to all be like unloaded on you, like back unloaded on you immediately. But, I think going back to what you said, Julia, like just taking your time, like picking up, you know, taking back some of your responsibilities or tasks, like as you can, is great. Like, you're not just going to like jump back head first into like your full workload. Mm-hmm. And then just like on like the mother side, personal side, like for me, I think especially with Cole, like being my firstborn, one, having a great breast pump is key. Highly recommend, find a good one, spend the money, or I guess you don't have to anymore, you can get them free, right? Well, back when Cole was born, you couldn't, and like there are hundreds of dollars and there's so many options, you have no idea what you need or what, you know. But I struggled with taking the time out during the day to pump. I don't know if this is like TMI, but like that was really hard for me. And I think some of it was because I didn't have a good pump, but I remember, like, you know, Cole was 6 months, you know, so I'd been back to work for 3 months, and I felt like not that it was anyone or anything, but like, I felt like I was forced to stop nursing because I just couldn't keep up with it at work. And that was sad for me, because I didn't want to stop. I think now, just with our flexibility of being able to be at home, that might not be as challenging as it was like when we were full-time in the office. And I felt like I can't just like leave and go to the mother's room, you know, four times a day or whatever. But I don't know. That was that, you know, it's okay. Like, just figure out what you need to do. But that was just a challenge for me.
Yeah. I think my advice would be like, you're not the, I know it's going to sound like harsh, but you're not the first mom to go through it. You're not the first mom to cry at daycare drop off.
Yeah.
Like, look at all the other women in your company and how many of them are doing it. Go to them and just be like, because I guarantee any mother is going to be like, oh, I get it. Like, mm-hmm. been there, done that. And nobody would ever judge you for that. Like, if you need somebody just to be like, yeah, I bawled my eyes out on the way to work after I just dropped my kids off, or it was a rough morning, like, somebody's going to be able to relate to that. And I think that was my biggest part. Like, I know, Allison, I think when I started at Buckingham, you were having your youngest. And I just remember thinking, how does she do it? Like, working, three kids. And then now I'm about to have my third, and I'm like, wait, I'm doing it. And I don't even know how I got here.
Snaps.
So I would just say, like, you're not alone in any of it, and you're not the first to go through it, and you won't be the last. So
nope. So as we wrap up, I thought we should just tell one funny story, or, you know, just let everyone know, like, we've all seen it, done it all. Like, I've had a few over the years. A couple that come to mind. One day I was in the kitchen and there was salt all over my countertop. And in my adjoining room here, we had like one of those like mini trampolines, right? Like with the bar, so the kids can just hold on and like bounce your energy out, right? Have at it. And I look in here and there's salt all over the trampoline and like the counter. I was like, I think it was probably just Cole and Sky at the time. I can't quite remember, but I was like, what is going on here? And just, you know, they are very straightforward. We're like, we're doing the salt and trampoline challenge. And I was like, okay. Like, you know, like I remember like the challenges that were like the ice bucket and like the crate. Like, I don't know if like they were aware of those things, but like, they just said it just so like matter of fact, like, yep, salt and trampoline challenge. And I was like, oh, okay, well, great. I will get out the vacuum and start cleaning this up. And then my other funny story, my Facebook gave me a reminder, or I don't know, I was looking back at like old photos and stuff. There was one morning Sky woke up and like her face was glistening and like her hair was all slicked back. And mind you, like, I have to braid Sky's hair every day because her hair is a disaster in the morning. She rolls her head. It gets very ratty. But, and so anyways, like, her face was just like glistening. And I'm like, Sky, what is all over your face and in your hair? Like, what? Like, what's going on? And she told me the longest story about how she had climbed up into her closet. And at one point heard me walking down the hall and she froze and found like the container of what she calls, at when she was younger, Vaseline, and like just smeared it all over her face and hair. I'm like, I don't know why, but it, I don't know. The video of her just like telling the whole story was really cute. And I think for a while after that, we called it Vaseline, and she's had a few funny words. Like, she always asks for massages. She's like, can I have a massage? And I'm like, okay. I don't know. Kids are funny.
They are. Yeah. And I think being a working mom, you have to remember, like, with the salt thing, you just are like, okay, yeah. Like, I'm going to go clean this up. It's not worth getting upset over. Bigger things in life, it just, my house is a disaster 24/7, and that's fine.
I caught Bryce as a kid. He had taken all of my face lotion. He had white, like a fully white lotioned face, and he was like slapping his cheeks and stuff. And I was like, okay, those aren't cheap. Though, I mean, I get like off the counter kind of stuff, but still, they're like $30. Like, don't do that again. But it was funny.
Yes. When we were potty training Penny, she was upstairs in her bathroom, and we have like a toilet seat on there. And I just left her on there, and I was like, okay, you're not getting off this toilet until you go to the bathroom. And I think I had left the room to go like change the laundry over or something. Mm-hmm. And I come back, and this girl had drawn all over the walls in the bathroom, and while sitting, she never left the seat. So when you sat down, you get this whole mural, and I haven't painted over it because I think it's hilarious. She was just bored sitting on the toilet. Where she got a utensil, I have no idea. She probably smuggled it into the bathroom, but the kids' bathroom has her wall decoration on it, and she goes and tells people like she did that when she was a baby, but she doesn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I like that you kept it and made it the artwork for the room.
I know. Yeah, that's like, actually really fun.
It is what it is. Like,
Sky would literally write her name on the walls, and I'm like, Sky, like, you're straight up outing yourself immediately. Like,
I'm like, you can't do that. We could probably have like a follow-up podcast on like the potty training topic. Yes. Like,
oh man.
Yeah.
That's another one that you got to give grace to other parents when they're going through the potty training.
Oh gosh. I'm grateful for all my neighbors, because like they've had to deal with some of my kids. Bryce. Oh gosh. Like, so thank goodness for good neighbors.
Yeah, good neighbors, good support system. Mm-hmm. Can't beat them.
And your teachers and daycare staff.
Yes.
Because they are extensions of us. And at the beginning of the school year, you know, Penny started at a new school, pre-K, and the teachers asked, oh, like, what do your mom and dad do? And Penny was like, my mom parties at work. And then there was like a meet the teacher night a few days later. And she's like, so I have to ask, like, Penny says you party. And I was like, no, I'm an event planner. Yes, I go to some parties, but it's majority corporate. Like, I'm not out at all hours of the night. And she's like, I didn't know what she meant by that. Or I was just thinking that you had a big social life.
That, like, say
the darndest things.
I feel like some teacher in the world here should be like writing an anonymous like book, like how, like, you know, like a coffee table book. Like, here's all the things like I've heard over my, you know, teaching career. Like, that would be hysterical.
Yeah. I would read that.
Yeah.
They all right. Really do repeat everything. Like, you have to be so careful. That's not a made up thing. They really do. So many, like, when Lydia catches me on my phone, she's like, Mom, phone down, listening ears on, please. Like,
Bryce calls me honey now, because I'm calling my kids honey. I'm like, okay, honey, what do you need? And he'll be like, okay, honey. And I'm like, I don't know how I feel about this. Like, it's fine if you say it to me, but you definitely do not say it to anyone else. Like, your teachers or other adults, like, come on. And now he knows, like, it's kind of a funny thing, but man.
Speaking of them repeating everything, cuss words. I don't even know why we were having or why we got to this point, but I screamed, damn it, Joe. And all of a sudden, my youngest kept screaming it too. And she kept saying, damn it, Joe, damn it, Joe. I think I was about to drop her off at her grandma's house, Joe's mom. And I was like, you cannot say that inside the house. Like, I know. Can't say that to grandma. <I'm> like,
please. Yeah. I think everyone has slip ups over the years. And I know all of my kids have probably said something like that or the other, but. Our funny thing was Bryce, since he was like born, pointed with his middle finger. Like, we have so many pictures of him just like middle finger up, like, and still to this day, like, it's just like his thing. Like, I don't, and like, and when he was in preschool, like, the teachers would kind of bring it up and I'd be like, I know, like, but what am I supposed to do? Like, am I supposed to like tape his finger down? Like, I've told him like he has a pointer finger, like point with that. But like, always just it's just always been that way. Like, I don't know, we probably laughed about it for longer than we should, but oh well.
I think we can wrap it up. And what have we learned from this conversation?
I've learned a lot. Talking through it, I've learned a lot. I think my biggest takeaway is, like, from talking with both of you and just my own experiences, finding a good support system, whether that be your partner, family, teachers, friends, neighbors, whatever you can do, don't be afraid to ask for help and lean on that support system. And also just, like, I don't know, look around and know that a lot of people are in the same boat as you, and take it easy on yourself and others.
Yeah, I liked what you said earlier, Julia, about you never know what people are going through. Like, you never know if the night before someone was up, whether they have kids or not, like whether they were up all night or, you know, doing something. And so just having, you know, more patience and empathy if someone's having an off day. And I liked what you said, Kim, like about your story about the woman who was going on her first work trip. Like, there are just going to be some situations and scenarios where it's out of your control, and that's okay. Like, you, it'll be fine. Like, you can do what you can do, but also, as yeah, the kids are resilient, they'll be good, and you know, just move on. So
yeah.
And lastly, I think because my kids are getting older, and like, this is the last year everyone's going to be in elementary school together and riding the bus together. Like, I'm really trying to, you know, enjoy those little moments and like the day to day. And, you know, I'm in like a different season from you guys. It's still very busy, but like, I have to find like those just like small sparks of like interaction, or yeah, like putting your phone down and like having some real like one-on-one time. Like, we've been doing a lot of like Go Fish or Uno or Connect Four, and just like trying to like find those moments that I can just like be very attentive to the kids and enjoy it too. Like, this is fun. Like, kids are fun and they're funny, and it shouldn't just be, you know, all this like work and stuff. So
yeah,
I'd have to say mine is just because I'm about to get into the thick of the newborn stage again and feeling overwhelmed of, I've been out of it for so long. I feel like I'm going back without any knowledge, or like I wiped my memory of everything that comes along with a newborn. But like Allison said, like, yeah, they need me right now and it's all hands on deck all the time, but at some point it won't be that way. And there will be time for myself again as they get older. And we'll get through it. Like,
yeah. If you need me to come over and hold that little baby, you let me know.
I'll take all of it.
Because all my babies are like 50 plus pounds at this point.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Assignment Podcast. Thank you to our guests for your vulnerability and willingness to share your stories. And a special thank you to our production team, Erica Green, Amanda Otto, and Dave Resner. Without your skills and vision, this series simply wouldn't be possible. To stay connected and learn more about our episodes, head to the DEI section of Gateway and click on the link for the assignment. There you'll find all of our episodes, details about upcoming DEI events, and resources to help you have your own candid conversations. We'll catch you next time.